America is in trouble. We've turned our backs on God, forsaken our history, and too easily succumbed to tyrannical orders. Our problem seems overwhelming, but the solution is simple. It's time we return to the Lord in strict adherence to the Constitution of the United States.
Welcome to the Constitution Solution, one podcast under God. We're your hosts, Mark DeLuzio and Christy Tyrone. Now, let's get on with the show.
Welcome to the Constitution Solution, one podcast under God. I'm Mark DeLuzio and my co-host, Christy Tyrone. Hi, Christy.
Hello.
How are you today?
I'm good.
Are you ready to talk about nullification? That's what we're going to talk about on this episode, nullification.
That's like all I want to talk about anymore.
It sounds like a dentist procedure, doesn't it? Something like that. I know it's something that we don't think about enough, and it is something that we're going to talk about right now. And as a matter of fact, it's something that you and I are working on here in Arizona to get some fire under this one, because we're not doing enough in that regard. But we'll talk about what nullification is, a little bit of introduction, a little definition, a little bit of history, and what did the founders say about nullification, and what did the Constitution say about nullification?
Now, I don't believe that word is in there, is it?
No.
Hmm.
It is not, which is very interesting, because that's what many will tell you. Well, I don't see the word nullification in the Constitution. You know, you don't see the word murder in there either, except for you can't do that. Okay. So
we'll uncover the essence of it, right? And where the meaning
is. We will. There are actually two specific places that I'm going to bring up, okay, to talk about that. Exactly. Mm-hmm. And then let's take it back home, okay, Christy, as we get through that preamble stuff, and say to ourselves, what do we do about it? And who are the people that have to do something about it? Who's responsible, right? Besides all of us citizens. So that's where we are. So I'm gonna talk a little bit about nullification here. And we just did a episode on words matter. And speaking of Noah Webster, nullification. By the way, nullification was not in Webster's 1828 dictionary, but to nullify was simple, the state of being nullified. Okay. The action of a state impeding or attempting to prevent the operation and enforcement within its territory of a law of the U.S. Okay. And that's what we're talking about here today. We're talking about.
No, I think Noah didn't like the idea of nullifying any of this stuff.
He fought. We're going to talk about that. Very good. You did
we'll
your homework. You did your homework, because Noah was not a big nullification guy. Okay. So let's just talk a little bit about what it is. It is enforcing constitutional law. It's resisting laws with no constitutional authority. Okay, yeah.
Talk in my language.
Upholding the Constitution. Okay, it is not sedition. It is not rebellion. It is not secession. It is not begging, okay, and bargaining and all that, right? So resisting laws with no constitutional authority. And I'll steal a line from Nancy Reagan's drug campaign, God rest her soul. Just say no.
Yeah.
Just say
pretty
no.
Pretty simple.
No, we're not doing that. And we'll get into the legalities of that in a bit. Bottom line is, nullification isn't only our right to push back on the federal government when they have mandates, laws, restrictions or whatever that are not in concert with the Constitution. It's not only our right to nullify, it's our obligation.
Yes.
Okay. And I will talk more about that a little bit in the back half of this thing. Okay. So the Constitution in a nutshell, you know, we have a couple of different types of rights, right? And, unalienable rights are derived by God. And I think we talked about that in the previous episode, right? Mm-hmm. So you have the right to defend yourself. You have the right of free speech. You have the right of religion. All those are unalienable rights. There are numerated rights that are written, like the Bill of Rights. Okay. Well, actually, the right of free speech and the right to bear arms is an enumerated right, but it goes back to the right to defend yourself. Okay. Which is an unalienable right.
Unalienable rights are like in the Declaration, the right to life, liberty,
and pursuit property. Of happiness. Exactly.
And the pursuit of happiness.
Right. Right. Enumerated are written. They're enumerated, and that's what the Bill of Rights is all about, the first 10 amendments of the Constitution. And unenumerated are unwritten rights. A lot of people say, well, you don't have a right to do that because it's not in the Constitution. Well, the founders didn't put every single right in the world under the sun in the Constitution. They were more concerned about the ones that were being abridged by the King of England. Okay, mm-hmm. So you have a right to raise a family. That's not in the Constitution. It doesn't mean you can't do it, okay? And you don't have a right to do it. So a right to education. You have a right to get educated, I should say, not for me to pay for it. Excuse me, Joe Biden. Okay. But you have a right to educate yourself. You have a right to read a book. You have, you know, all those rights aren't in the Constitution per se, but they are still what we would call unenumerated rights. Easy way to think about it. It's not written down. Article 1, Section 8, we had a whole episode on that one, Christy. The legislative powers, what we call the enumerated powers. What are the enumerated powers of the federal government? Okay. And we went through all those, I believe, 17 different enumerated powers. And when you get into what is the Constitution, just a little bit of a review here, it's basically what the federal government is not allowed to do. So you look at the Bill of Rights, and the first, I think, 8 or 7 Bill of Rights say the government shall not impede your right to, you know, to bear arms. So shall not, right? And a couple of them say you shall, which means a citizen shall. And the 10th Amendment says, oh yeah, by the way, if we didn't mention it, you can't do it.
Yes,
that's basically what it says. Well, that 10th Amendment, and we'll get back to that one in a minute, a little bit later, is a real key on this one, because if it's not enumerated, the federal government does not have the right to do that. All right.
And this is why it's so important for us to know what's in our Constitution and, the gauge of this outline. We need to know what these things are, so then we can know when they're being followed or broken.
Chrissy, you heard me on the campaign trail when I ran for Congress. You know, you were there quite a bit with me, and you heard people ask questions. Hey, Mark, what are you going to do about? And my answer usually was nothing, because it's not, I am not going to pass laws over your homeowners association. I swear I got that one. I got that. What are you going to do about HOAs? Because I want to plant my trees near my 6 feet from my fence and they won't let me, you know. And I'm like, you don't want the federal government getting involved in your HOA. It's not. But people don't know the enumerated powers. And so many times I would say, I'm not doing anything about that. Because that's not the role of Congress. It's not the role of the federal government. You don't want Nancy Pelosi writing your election laws, okay? And so you've heard that many times with me when you're with me on these different campaigns. And so when the federal government overreaches and does things that are not in concert with the Constitution, that's where we have an obligation to nullify, okay?
Yes.
So let me give you some examples. Right now, and we'll talk more about some more examples later, the whole federal gun control thing. So I've got to get permission.
These are examples of infringements.
Infringements. Thank you.
Okay.
I've got to get permission from the government to exercise my Second Amendment rights. Really? I've got executive orders, which are not law, okay, but we treat them as that. The whole notion of the Federal Reserve, and we're going to do a whole section on the Federal Reserve, COVID mandates. No, not in. I saw nothing about those type of mandates in the enumerated powers, Article 1, Section 8. The whole idea of healthcare, education. Okay, go into some of these three letter agencies, if you will. You know, the Department of Education, CDC, ATF, OSHA, EPA, all of these agencies are not in concert with the Constitution. They're all unconstitutional agencies. And we'll have a whole section on this some other day to talk more about these three-letter agencies. How the government, how the president can decide to go to war without going to Congress to enact the War Powers Act. One of the enumerated powers of Congress is to declare war, to give the president permission to go to war. Well, when did that happen with Afghanistan? When did that happen with Vietnam? You can argue it happened with Iraq, okay? But, you know, so many of our conflicts that we went to war on, we just, you know, and so that, you know, so governors should never have sent their National Guard troops because it was an infringement on the state's rights, okay, in that case, right? There's a National ID Act that's been kicked around. George Bush signed it, W. Bush, in 2005, and that can get kicked down the road. You know, if you look at your license, you got the little star on it, that gets get pushed. You can't fly if you don't have your National ID registered. Now it's 2025. Every year it gets pushed out. Because,
but one day, they're just waiting for that opportunity.
Well, you know, the thing is, that law is still sitting there, okay? And we keep pushing back on it. And that's those are just examples of infringement. So let's talk about some movements. Early on in history, there were a couple things that went on, 1798, 1799, and 1832. Back in 1798 and 1799, Thomas Jefferson and James Madison, of all people, had respectively the Virginia Resolution and the Kentucky Resolution, which basically fought back against the government's Alien Sedition Acts, okay? And there are all kinds of things in those Alien Sedition Acts, but they were infringing on the rights of the states to be able to enact their constitutional rights. That was the first evidence of ever a state pushing back on the federal government, okay?
Now, was this the Alien Sedition, right? The act, the one that included the limits on speech and slander?
Yes, yes. As a matter of fact, it said you could be imprisoned. One of the provisions of this was you could be imprisoned for writing negative things about the government. Okay.
That's so bad. And I believe John Adams was for that. I think he didn't like being dunked on, you know, and he's like, we should have some decency and they shouldn't be able to just slam the president.
He did.
You know,
so yeah, he did. Yeah, it was interesting. Everybody thinks that everybody's saying kumbaya when we put this country together, and they did not. They argued with it just like we argue about it today. The only difference is that back then it wasn't law until the Constitution was ratified, you know, back in, you know, 1787 and before. However, now we're arguing about it, but it is law. Okay. So there's a nice little difference there that people sort of forget. John Calhoun, who was the vice president of Andrew Jackson, we almost had another revolution on this particular issue. This was in 1832, and the tariffs, it's a long story, but there were unfavorable tariffs to the South that would have benefited the North. And these tariffs were mandated by the government, and we almost went to war over it. Andrew Jackson then, because of Calhoun, who ended up resigning because of this issue, because he wanted to become a South Carolina senator so that he could push back on this whole deal. And that's when he debated, and others debated with Noah Webster. But Calhoun, you know, led this whole charge with nullifying an ordinance of nullification that killed the tariffs. And how they got out of it was the tariffs were not nullified, but Jackson started knocking down the tariffs so that it was less painful and avoided a revolution. We almost went ahead of Revolutionary War over the tariffs. Okay. So, but those are the first three examples that these three individuals, you know, talked about. You know, Jefferson had all kinds of writings on nullification, all right, and talking about how it's our duty, and it is the rightful remedy to nullify unconstitutional acts from the federal government, all right.
So he did that as governor in 1798. He said, "No, we're not playing. We're
yes,
going to keep speaking freely." And whatever other things were involved in it. But then when he became president, he instantly undid that order. he was like, nope, we're done now, because it was an executive move, I think. What and then he's like, no, it's as president, he said, we're not playing anymore.
Yeah, and just to read a quick one of the things he wrote here, that the several states who formed that instrument, being sovereign and independent, have the unquestionable right to judge of its infraction, and that a nullification by those sovereignties of all unauthorized acts done under the color of that instrument is the rightful remedy. And that instrument he's talking about is the Constitution. Okay.
I just love how he says things.
Oh, yeah. He was a stud. I tell you, he was something.
I know.
Else.
I totally fangirl for Jefferson.
I think he's a little old for you. Okay. and your husband, Sean, might have a problem with that. but anyway, Thomas Jefferson was awesome. And, you know, in a way, I've read about Jefferson, how he wasn't really a big federalist, which means limited government at the time. It didn't mean that, but limited government until he became governor of Virginia, mm-hmm. you know, and that's where he really changed his thinking. And he and Adams, you know, were at odds ends on and they were good friends and all that. But they kind of parted ways, ironically, died on July 4th on the same day. Together, you know, they died. Yeah,
50,
together,
the 50 year, it was the 50 year anniversary of the 50
year anniversary, exactly. Yeah, it was,
but they made up shortly before their death.
They did. Finally, like, they did do that. Yeah, they did do that. Mm-hmm. But you know, it was just so darn interesting how and he was a brilliant man. I mean, you know, unbelievable. I'm gonna get this wrong, but I heard somebody say the most brain power ever put together was when George Washington had his cabinet together. And the only other time that was greater was when Thomas Jefferson was by himself, you know? So,
I love that.
Something like that. I know I'm screwing that one up, but I'll have to get that right quote, you know? Madison was the same thing, okay? He said, the people who can, by the election of more faithful representatives, annul the acts of the usurpers. How many usurpers we have today, okay? Schemes of usurpation will be easily defeated by the state governments, who will be supported by the people. That was in Federalist 46. The other one was in Federalist 44. Okay. And we're going to have a whole section, I believe, on episode. Aren't we going to have that on the Federalist Papers? We're going to talk about that. Right. I mean, he goes on and on. So Madison wrote all kinds of things relative to nullification. Okay. So, and it was clear. Now, even Alexander Hamilton, who was a big federal, big government guy, okay, pushed back on and agreed with nullification, okay?
Okay.
Federal laws, he said, which are not pursuant to its constitutional powers, but which are invasions of the residuary authorities of the state powers, it's talking about the 10th Amendment, and we'll get into that in a minute, these will be merely acts of usurpation and will be deserved to be treated as such. And he wrote that in Federalist 33. So, you know, you gotta remember the Federalist Papers was John Jay, Madison, and Hamilton. Those are three authors of these Federalist Papers, which were essentially letters to editors in New York State, because they knew that if they didn't get New York to ratify the Constitution in 1787, there'd be no union. And and all those papers were written in New York to New York newspapers to sway the legislators and the people, if you will, to adopt the Constitution. So these Federalist Papers are key legal documents that are referred to all the time to interpret our Constitution.
Which is, this is really cool too, to see that was the nullification was a strong argument for toward the people that were against it, because they were afraid of, you know, being having a tyrant run their lives again. And so for them to see this, like, oh, okay, so if they get out of line, we have the power to say no. Like, that's a really good way to soften the blow and, like, hey, this is a good thing. Like, you know, and to change their tune, you know, saying, okay, if we do this and we agree to this, we're not getting rid of our sovereignty. We're almost in a way defining it better.
The way I understand it, New York of all the states was probably the most suspicious of this big government. right? And it's interesting. My guess is that these writings that we just read and some others, you know, in the Federalist Papers, were the ones that got New York over the hump to ratify. Okay. I do believe that, because their big issue was, we don't want big government telling us what to do and all this. So I think a lot of that writing had to play a huge role in getting them over the hump, if you will. So it was interesting. So now that we have all this great stuff, what does the Constitution say? Okay, to your point earlier, Christy, you said that nullification is not found anywhere in the Constitution. Mm-hmm. Of the some 400, 300 words, whatever it is, we should get the exact number so we sound smart, right?
Yeah.
that's a trick politicians play all the time, by the way. But you said it's not in there, and it's not in there, I don't believe. But the 10th Amendment.
Sorry, I got the word count. I have it in my binder.
Okay, go ahead.
4,543 words.
Oh, well, you know what? You had to look it up so you don't look that smart.
Yeah. It's in my binder.
Should we redo this episode? No.
Yeah.
No. So, I mean, you know, come on. I mean, what a document for 4,500 words, right?
Yes.
So the 10th Amendment says this. The powers not delegated to the United States by the Constitution, nor prohibited by it to the states, are reserved to the states respectively or to the people. So basically what it says is, if it's not an enumerated power delegated to it by the Constitution to the United States, it's left to the states. Okay, so you tell me where education falls in that. Is that an enumerated power? No.
Not there.
EPA.
Not there.
The Waters of the United States Act, the EPA, OSHA, is that all CDC, healthcare. Where does it say healthcare? Where does it say education? I mean, the list is very, very, very long. Okay. And so education in particular is a big one, because I had a lady on the campaign trail. She said to me, she worked in education. Mark, you want to get rid of the Department of Education? Where are we going to get our funding from? And I said to her, well, geez, I said, where do you think they get the money from? Oh, I didn't think about it that way. She says, yeah, they get it from us. Yeah, I said, they get it from you. Then you probably get back, if you're lucky, 60 cents on the dollar. Only if you behave and do what they want you to do. All of a sudden, education now is taken out of your hands. And you're now beholden to the federal government in terms of how you educate and all that. And that's not how this was designed. You want to be able to have local power at your local school board to control with your vote, your board of ed, your mayor, your town reps, whatever, and not some bureaucrat that you don't even know their name writing laws that are just unconstitutional and have no right doing it. So people would say to me again, they would say, well, what are you going to do about our water here in Arizona? Because, you know, we have this water issue and it's a whole other subject for another day. But I would say, get the EPA out of your hair and let you guys deal with your own water, because we should not be dealing with your water. We being the federal government. My biggest job as a congressman was going to be to keep out of this state, just push people out. Okay. Mm-hmm. And that's what this is all about. Okay. Nullification. So the 10th Amendment is a real biggie. And so the founders were very clear on this. It's too bad that many are not. Now, the other part of the Constitution was the Supremacy Clause, which is Article 6, Clause 2. The Supremacy Clause says this: the Constitution and the laws of the United States, which shall be made in pursuance thereof, shall be the supreme law of the land. So People argue all the time, well, it's a federal law. It's the law of the land, you know. As long as it's pursuant thereof, which basically means it's in concert with the enumerated powers, okay? Mm-hmm. Okay, that's what pursuant thereof means, all right? Go back to words matter. And And so they said, well, you know, the government, the federal government passed a law that says we have to wear masks, or we have to do this, or we have to do that. No. Mm-hmm. I can't say that enough, that if it's not enumerated by the Constitution, you got to remember, the Constitution tells the government what they can't do. It doesn't tell us what, as citizens, we can do. That is not what this document is. It protects us, right? Pursuant thereof. So if the government writes a federal law and it's in concert with the enumerated powers and the Constitution, it is the law of the land. Whether you like the law or not, that's another matter. But if it's not, then quite frankly, it is not in concert, and we need to nullify these things, okay? So, so now that we know this, it's important to realize that, and I guess you might argue, Christy, you know, we're how do we fight this? How do we do this, right?
Yeah.
And there's power in numbers and all that. It's got to be done at the state level, at the representative level. And as far as Arizona is concerned, and I'll just read I'll read the whole thing. And I think other states have a very similar oath of office. But let me read the oath of office for a state representative here in Arizona.
All right.
I, John Smith, okay, do solemnly swear or affirm that I will support the Constitution of the United States and the Constitution and laws of the state of Arizona, that I will bear true faith and allegiance to the same and defend them against all enemies, foreign and domestic, and that I will faithfully and impartially discharge the duties of the office of state representative according to the best of my ability. So help me God. Right?
Yeah.
Stack of Bibles, great. And all that, right? So you are sworn to duty. So this whole business about nullification, and I really get tired of hearing candidates run here and elsewhere where they wrap themselves in the Constitution around election time, and then do nothing about this and continue to allow our rights to be taken. So it's the representatives that have to start passing and saying no, pushing back, saying, we're not doing that. Okay. And we're going to pass legislation. I mean, one of the states, I think it was Montana. Was it during the COVID thing? I don't know. They basically, any federal agent comes in and tries to enforce a mandate as such, we will incarcerate you and put you in prison for 1 year.
Yes, so, I'd love that. Yeah,
so come on in. But you got to have, now we're not going to do it with this governor, okay? Not with Katie Hobbs.
No.
Carrie Lake, yeah, we would have done it, okay?
But then even that, then you look at your county, the county level is pretty powerful. And, you know, being even in California, there are counties that have kept our American freedoms intact amidst the egregious tyranny that happens on the state level. One of my friends is from Kern County, and they just don't play. They never did any mask mandates. The sheriff's like, no, we're not. I'm not enforcing that. You know, they're even like their school boards and stuff are like, we're not forcing vaccines on our kids. Like all these different things that happened during the COVID era, this county, and there are others, this county stood strong and they just lived. Like life has just been nice and normal there for the people of Kern County because the sheriff and the people were actively engaged in saying no to tyranny. And so you're like, gosh, if you can uphold your freedom, even in California with your county, then we could definitely do that here in Arizona.
That's right. That's right. By the way, executive orders, since you brought them up, okay, are, and I think we're going to have a whole session on executive orders, but
yes,
first of all, they're not in the Constitution.
Nope.
Secondly, the executive branch cannot pass law. So how can an executive order have the power of law? Very simple. We let it have the power of law. When our Governor Ducey, who was a Republican, when he said, hey, you know, you got to limit your restaurants, you can have so many people in churches, you know, so many people in your restaurants and all that, he had no power doing that. Absolutely no power doing that.
But the people did it. Okay.
And no legislator is going to pass those laws because they'll get booted out of office. Okay. Mm-hmm. And that's what happens with these unconstitutional federal agencies. No government, I mean, no congressman worth his salt would want to pass a law of tyranny that these agencies are passing on us. So they're, you know, they're passing all off their responsibility and staying out of the heat. Okay. And it's an absolute infringement on our rights. So anyway, the state representatives, Christy, are the ones that need to start pushing back on this. And, you know, you and I talked about starting a movement here in Arizona, which we'll have probably more on later once this thing gets running. But what are some of the targets? You know, we should be thinking about comprehensive bills that say, you know, there's certain things we're just not going to do. We're not going to follow. Okay.
Well, right now, one of the ones in Arizona is and our guy Kwong Wen was part of it. Where Arizona is a Second Amendment sanctuary state, so any federal laws that come at us to try to take our guns, limit our guns, control our right to bear arms, Arizona says no, we nullify it. That's great. Yeah. We need more of that. Because the people, we can do it in a county and all that stuff. But like, if our legislator does it, that is binding law. So that is the most impactful way to do it.
And it's not if it's not enumerated, okay, in the Constitution. Federal law is not binding law. Mm-hmm. So there's a lot of things: the Federal Reserve, federal gun laws, as you just described. Even though we are probably the freest gun state in the nation, there's still plenty of room for discussion there. We talked about abortion, you know, the whole abortion is an interesting one. And I know we're going to have a separate conversation about this. It's a separate episode, because I could also make an argument at the federal level that it could be outlawed. Okay. Because of life, liberty, pursuit of happiness, and what does life begin and all that argument. Right. But what happened in this last Roe v. Wade overturn is that you go back in the Supreme Court in 1972 wrote law from the bench by defining trimesters and said, okay, states, you got to follow our rules on trimesters, and you got to follow this, you got to follow that. And they wrote law. Okay. And we let them do it. And that lasted for 50 some odd years. And when it got overturned, and ironically, people were saying, well, abortion is not constitutional. No, it's not. It's not in the Constitution. It's not in the Constitution, number one. And number two is, it was overturned because Roe v. Wade decision was unconstitutional.
And yeah, all moral
to do with how you feel about abortion, has nothing to do with that.
Okay? All moral ethics, all that stuff aside, it is it was an unconstitutional.
It was technically unconstitutional, and we let it go for that long, right? So anyway, all of this stuff, there's so much going on here. By the way, I think the next step on this after we nullify is, I want our money back.
Yes,
I'm serious. When we pay federal taxes, and 70% of our taxes are unconstitutional because the budget's unconstitutional in that to that degree, I want my money back. Okay, all right. And so, I mean, that will never happen, but why not ask for it, right? So that's a little bit about, you know, nullification. Okay, and to me, it's probably the most misunderstood. And it's also probably the most ignored duty of our state, of any state representative right now. And I'm in the process right now of having discussions with many state representatives about this to figure out where their heads are at and what it is that we have to do to start pushing back and getting back our freedom. Okay. That's really what this is all about, because our freedoms have been taken away. And by the way, when you take my money unconstitutionally, you're taking my freedom. All right.
Yeah.
So
exactly. Taking your property, taking your freedom.
Yeah.
Property, this is a really
property
good
property, and freedom are linked. They're one and the same. So
exactly. Anyway. Yeah, this is a really good thing to work on and to get people, you know, informed and, you know, putting it into action, because we're just drowning in a sea of unconstitutional measures that are just everything seems so out of control and so far out of reach. But it's like, as we always say, the point of the show is to inform, you know, getting that knowledge and understanding where we stand gives you a solid ground to fight from. And this is, like I said, this is all I want to talk about. And I'm like, nullifying is like my favorite political movement right now, because it's almost like when you look at all the issues themselves and we want to cry about this and whine about that, but it's like you're almost missing the point, because if it's unconstitutional, we have not only the right, but it's our duty to say no, to stand up and protect our liberties from
right. And then the other thing, Christy, is what about the future infringements on our right that are going to come down the pike, right? Because once you allow them to do this, you basically gave them a hall pass to do it again and to do it again and to do it again. So we have to make sure they know, you know what? They're going to slap my hand if I try that again. I ain't doing that no more. Okay. But we got to do it. And Arizona alone can't be the only one, but we got to bond with different states to say, we're not going to do this. And that's what happened with the National ID Act. A lot of states bonded together and pushed back. Now, not sure where that's going to go, if we're going to get, you know, tired of the fight, but freedom has to be fought for all the time, not only with our military, but with each other, with our citizens. And
with our elections looking forward, like our representatives are so important to get ones and ask them about this stuff, you know, when they're running, and if they're willing to stand for it and hold them to it when they're in. And I think the whole COVID era, one of the positions that I never realized how important the sheriff is. That is, the sheriff is such a key position in protecting the people's rights in county going forward. So having the right sheriff who knows and is willing to defend the Constitution is one of the most important elections that we need to focus on going forward.
You know, it's funny. I sometimes think about COVID, and I kind of look at the bright side of things, right? And COVID, besides the fact that when I had COVID, I lost 14 pounds. Okay, that was a bright side. but I look at COVID and I say, you know what? Maybe that was God's way of saying to us, wake up, America.
Yeah. And a lot of people did.
Yeah.
A lot of things came clear.
Yep. To a lot and, of people. And more is coming to it's rearing its ugly head right now. I mean, we are hiding a lot of things that have happened on so many different fronts, including the deaths that these vaccines have caused, including the behind the scenes deal. Nobody's coming clean on their bank accounts in terms of how they profited from royalties, from, you know, this whole thing is starting to rear its ugly head. And just stay back, get your popcorn, and see what's going on. So, you know, it's starting to come out. Okay. And people would ask me on the campaign trail, how can we trust you, Mark? Why would you trust a politician would be my answer. I don't want you to trust me. I'll try to earn your trust, but please hold me accountable. Don't accept anything these people say. Don't accept anything these people say. Most of it, they're lying to you, and they want your vote. Don't trust me, please. You want a guarantee? Go to Home Depot and buy a washing machine, okay? Or a refrigerator. You'll get a guarantee there. You're not gonna get one from me. If you don't like what I'm doing, kick me out in 2 years, okay?
Yep.
And so that was a weird, you know, because a lot of people would sit there and say, "Well, here's why you can trust me, because I go to church every Sunday. I've been married to my wife for 30 years, and." I've been, and I don't kick my dog. Okay. That's why you should trust me, you know? And it's like, really? I don't have to explain myself to you. I'm an imperfect person, flawed. Okay. And I don't want you to trust me. Jeez, please don't challenge me.
Well, yeah. Challenge them. I like that. And then I think the more informed we are as a citizenry, we can hold them to a realistic standard, because everyone's like, this is the election of our lifetime. We hear that so often these days, but it's like, it shouldn't be. Elections do have consequences, and they do matter, and we do need to be informed. But like, if these people were staying within the bounds of the Constitution, if they were within their limited scope of power within their representative position, then they shouldn't be able to ruin our lives so greatly as they do. Because, and the only reason that they do ruin our lives as much as they have is because we let them, because we're uninformed. And so
that was the whole reason why you and I got together to do this, right? I mean, that's exactly why, because we don't have a fighting chance if we're not informed, you know. Mm-hmm. And I've been hearing about the the most important lecture of our lifetime. It's from Sean Hannity for the last 25 years. And that's code for Hannity to say, hey, you got to watch my show, you know.
That's a good talking point. No,
I mean, you know, okay, yeah, they're all important. Don't get me wrong. Elections do have consequences. But if you for 1 minute think that one administration like Biden is going to ruin this country, nah, he's not that good, okay? And it won't happen. I have a lot of faith in America. I have a lot of faith that we will, you know, we fall down, but we dust ourselves off and we come back strong. And I think the Japanese found that in World War II. They said, we've awoken a sleeping giant, okay? And there's a sleeping giant out there. And when they started messing with our kids during COVID, that's the sleeping giant, okay? And it's that's what's going on. So I have a lot of, I do have faith that we're gonna come back.
The more of us that know what we're fighting for and what platform we're fighting from, the more we can accomplish and the more efficiently we can get it done.
Well, anyway, that's a little bit of an overview on nullification. So I'm sure we'll be talking more about this as time goes on, like a lot of things that we do. And I think we should maybe wrap it up for this session and move on to the next one, whatever that's going to be. So Christy, Tyrone, I'm Mark DeLuzio. Thank you for joining the Constitution Solution, one podcast under God. God bless.
God bless.
Thanks for listening to the Constitution Solution, one podcast under God. You can find other episodes on our website at 1787solution.com, YouTube, or wherever you listen to podcasts.
We're your hosts, Christy Tyrone and Mark DeLuzio. Until next time, may God bless you and may God bless America.